All right, gang, welcome to the podcast. So Dave and I are going to chat about relationships, training, how it all relates, and, you know, just kind of flow on that. So my wife, Kate, actually, she sent me a Harvard study. It was like a little TikTok video, and it was a Harvard study on adult development and the single most important predictor of health. So it was an 80-year study. It was at age 50, how people felt about their relationship. So it was a more important determiner of their health than like their heart health, their, you know, blood pressure numbers, like their diet, all of those things. It was how they felt about their relationships. And that really got me thinking about how that relates to CrossFit training, group fitness, fitness in general. You know, I can think back and I have some notes and I might get into it later, but you know, the happiest I've been as an adult and really times that I've thrived and been in great condition is when I had a really good group of people to work out with, whether it was like I was locked into a certain time I was training and the group around me was just really fun and I was having a lot of fun with it. Or even it could have just been one person, just one like workout partner I had that we would train together, keep each other accountable for a certain amount of time. And it just worked and it flowed really well. And it really got me thinking, you know, that could be the X factor. It might even be the most important, if not one of the most important things when it comes to training is that social aspect. And you can stay fit on your own, completely solo. You can stay in relative good, like fitness shape, but your why starts to kind of like, you know, it starts to get tough. I feel like to like figure out why am I doing this? Is this even fun? And eventually I think everyone wants to get led back to finding that group of people or finding that person to keep them held accountable and just going, you know, I mean, what do you think? You've been a little more of a lone wolf in certain times, even like when you were training, cause you separated yourself in a way, like you didn't separate yourself from the group intentionally, but you were training with a different purpose. You know, back when I remember, like you do our class and then you had some work to do with like, you know, training for the games and things like that.
Yeah. Whether you're more extroverted or introverted, I think like regardless that everyone needs some social interaction to be with a group sometimes. And I think if you're a little bit more, if you like some space your own, maybe that was why sometimes there's times I really do like working out with a group. And there's sometimes I really like that to be some good alone time to kind of do some stuff, whether it's, you know, working out in the park or somewhere outdoors. Usually if I do something more outside, it tends to be a little bit more solo, but
yep,
it just kind of depends on what stage of your life you're at or kind of what you're training for, but it doesn't always have to be used, you know, working out in a group with others necessarily as a tool to like make things more intense. It's just generally it's, you know, you can get a push from that group or you can just get some good emotional, physical, psychological support. And I really think that was always kind of the attractive part about CrossFit. It was kind of like, I always thought of most boxes as like social clubs that exercised.
Yep.
Right. You know, sometimes 100%. We, you know, it's more apparent now, but even in the early 2000s when CrossFit started, you know, modern life, sometimes you get really busy as an adult, kind of working at your family. Everything is just very kind of routine. There's maybe not as much time in your life to socialize as you know, when you were younger and had less, you know, obligations and things to worry about. So these clubs that, you know, these maybe back in the 60s, 70s, 50s, I feel like there was little less technology, you know, social media to make you feel like you were interacting with others. You actually had to go out in the community and be part of different, you know, civic organizations or book clubs or knitting clubs. There was just a lot more ways for you to get out and see people in society. You know, there was, you know, I was just reading a book, that 1927 book, and just talking about like in New York City, people were just on their fire escapes. People were outside interacting. And now everyone just seems to go indoors on some kind of device or screen,
yes,
either by themselves or with a couple people. And that's how they interact or they're kind of, you know, isolate themselves. So I think it's, it's nice to have gyms like this, like in CrossFit gyms or other spaces, you know, boutique gyms where people aren't just sitting there, you know, with headphones on and kind of working out with by themselves or one other person. There's actually a large group. People are interacting. They're getting that social interaction, and you can work out hard too, but it's just nice to interact with a large group of people. You know, like it's nice to have some place to go where you can have a social club.
That's a great point that you're talking about. I was listening to a podcast actually recently where someone had been to a funeral of a friend of their dad's, and he had, you know, hundreds of people in there. He didn't just have one group. He had five different groups of, I don't know. It was like he had like these guys that he worked with. And then it was like this, you know, one of those like Shriner Club thing. Yeah. It was like he had all of these groups and he had several hundred people at his funeral. And what they were talking about, and I completely didn't even think about this when I was writing up some notes for the podcast, was he's like, I don't know if, you know, in 40, 50 years, you're going to see people having funerals with like five people there, because he's like this. I mean, he's like, it was a lot. And he knew all of these people. He had like a group of people he skied with. And he was like, he had all of these deep relationships, and the guy lived a great life into his, you know, 90s or something. And he's like, that was so important. He's like, I really feel like we're losing a lot of that now. Through, you know, Netflix and technology and all of those things. And I really feel like CrossFit or even just gyms, boutique gyms and things like this in general can be that old social club, feeling that is that part of people's lives where, you know, we're losing that. And especially like post COVID, where a lot of people, you know, everything was supposed to bring you into your house. Like, now I can get my groceries delivered and I don't even have to go to the store, and I'm going to build a gym in my garage. And
there's a time and place for that, you know? And if you certainly are at a point where maybe you're not as mobile or you're older, have an injury, like you can shop and click and do it that way. But I think I just generally try to like introduce or keep as much friction in my life as I can to actually go out and do things like buy something at the store, like things that like, you know, you need to try on, or like clothes or like food. I like to go out. It doesn't have to be a long trip, but like, just, I don't know. I just like getting out and being in the world and getting stuff and bringing it back home. Again, there's a time and place for it. You don't always have to do that, but you know, the statistics now, there's like an epidemic of loneliness going on.
Yep.
Like you can read surveys and reports and things like that of just how people's self-report perceptions of feeling of loneliness. Right. Yep. And that could be, you know, partly from the pandemic. Like I think especially with younger people, I was just hearing an article about this yesterday. It was an interview on a show, but they were talking about just like the, you know, COVID kind of set in place this work from home idea. Right. Yep. And it may work for some people sometimes, and they may like it initially, but getting out in the world and going and interacting with a community at work and learning how the world works is super important, especially if you're in your 20s, just trying to figure things out. It may be fine later if you're in your 50s and you're more of an executive and you've got a family and like that kind of works for you. But when you're young and learning how working life is, it's important to be in the office. So I think like, you know, I think it's most organizations now that if they're white collar, they're a little bit of that hybrid schedule within the office. Some days they're at home, but I think that's just super important to not, it sounds very convenient to work from home, but it's also just isolating and lonely. And you just sit in your home all day and you don't even have to, you just work in your pajamas. I don't think it's a great idea long term.
Yeah.
I think that flexibility is nice.
It is.
It's nice to have that option, but I think it's really important that we get out into the world and see people. I mean, we're social creatures. That's what we've always been. And it's like, you know, I mean, again, nice to have a home gym and do some things at home to save some time. Or if you've got kids at home, you need to get in a half hour workout. But if you can, see people.
Yeah. Or break up your at home, work day with, like a mid morning CrossFit class.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Monday, Wednesday, 9:30.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I have a membership over at Cohatch, and it's a good place. You know, we'll do some meetings over there, and then I'll go over there on the weekends and just get some really focused work in. And I've noticed places like that have popped up a lot more through those work from home type things where as much as, you know, I have neighbors and stuff who work from home and they have young kids at home and they you know, they bring a babysitter to their house to watch them. And then they literally lock themselves in their basement. They have like offices and stuff. They lock themselves in there, to try and like, you know, it's easier and more convenient, but I mean, staying in your house for 72 straight hours is maybe not the best thing for your like kinda, mental health.
Yeah, you have to think long term about this. Like, what is this going to turn into? Yeah, I don't know who said it. I think maybe I think it sounded to Kate a while ago. It was something like it was some. I think it was like some physical therapist or somebody like in the health space had done this like kind of animation of like over time. Kind of posturally and physically how much working from home can affect like what you physically look like, just the positions you're in of just, it was meant to be funny, but also enlightening too, a little bit of like, all right, you're not actually physically moving in the world. You're just sitting at home and like, just kind of how like sitting at a laptop on the couch can be for hours at a time and things like that. So.
Yeah. Even a commute in it's not fun to jump in a car and drive for 20 minutes, but you're navigating the world, you're getting out, you're moving around, you're walking a little bit. And there is some benefit, I would imagine, to just, you know, having another place to have to go throughout the day. And then you're maybe running an errand on the way back. And I trained in the early days of me training, I trained a lot of stay-at-home moms in the New Albany area. And, you know, I trained quite a few of them. And I remember having a conversation with one who had been an attorney and then, she was then a stay-at-home mom. And, some of the women in this group, you could tell their kids weren't young anymore. They didn't have a ton to do. And what you saw was, and I had a conversation with her after a training session is she was a little upset with herself. She'd kind of just let herself get lazy in certain ways and just mentally where she was, it's like, I can't get anything done. She said, when I was an attorney, I could get 10 times the amount of work I could do, like get done with a fifth of the time that I have now. And she's like, the more work I did, the more I could do. And that really just, that got into my head. Like I've always remembered that conversation. She was very honest with herself about getting a little bit too relaxed because their kids were older. They were taking care of themselves. They were 16, 17 years old at that point. Being a young mom, and I know this from experience, so I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, is a lot harder job, like with kids and stuff. And I don't have teenagers, and that's probably a whole nother thing. Is harder than what I do. So I'm not trying to like say anything about that. That being said, you know, they had 8 hours while their kids were in high school, kind of doing their thing to hang out, do workouts, do all that type of stuff. What I'm getting to is like, you know, having a place to go, having things to go. I think it's a good thing. And, you know, I don't know about, you know, I don't want to get into it with people about working from home because there's a lot of benefits.
Yeah.
What I want to really talk about is that social interaction through all that stuff. It really like, there's a lot less of that. It's super, super important. And the people I've seen, especially have continued to just fall into that rhythm of isolation. They're not typically, from what I've seen, the happiest people that I know. They're usually very angry. And they're kind of mad at the world. And I think when you're around people, you're joking around, you're laughing every day, you're going to be a lot less angry, you're going to be a lot happier, especially if you have a rhythm of, hey, we're going to go out to dinner with this couple, or hey, I can't wait to see my buddy at the gym and catch up with what they've been up to. And again, it doesn't have to be, hey, a CrossFit class. You know, I think when I get into, I want to kind of close with like some actionable tips. I think it's just having people that you see every day be a part of your day. And I mean, I've had it at certain points in my life where it was, I don't know if you like get into rhythms where you go to the same coffee place every day and then you know the barista.
Yeah.
And then I've had it where I had, I had a guy at a Starbucks that I went to. I talked to him for 15 minutes every day, maybe 20. It was like in a Kroger kiosk. Yeah. And I would just BS with this guy for 20 minutes. Super cool guy. We got to know each other really well. And it was sad. Like one day, just like he wasn't there and he had like quit his job. And then I just kind of quit going to that one. But having those rituals and those places to go be at, I think those are just, they're really important to your health. And I think this has really got me thinking too, of like maybe past relationships, like friends that I had in high school and college that are around. I've been recently trying to just stoke that fire back up and make sure I'm talking to those people again, planning things. Cause now I just have, everyone has to plan more. Everyone's a little busier. Everyone's got things going on. So I'm just filling up my weekend calendars, you know, whether it's a dinner or an event or something. Like my buddy, plays live music at Natalie's and all over the place here. And I'm trying to find a show that I can go to.
Yeah. I think it really helps to like really set things on a calendar and plan them, because it's easy for the weekend to come and you just kind of sit around. It's not like a bad thing. Oh, I can kind of relax a little bit or just kind of hang out, but it does feel good when you get out and do things. But I think unless you kind of organize something and put it on the schedule and make plans with friends, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. Like maybe when you're younger and had less going on, things could just happen spontaneously, or just was assumed, hey, we're going to meet this person's house. But you're older, you got kids, you got, that just life's more complicated. You have to kind of put it on a calendar and schedule it, because it's just easy for that stuff just to not happen.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, especially, I would say I'm guilty of that. I mean, I feel like most Fridays, sometimes the week's winding down. Like Fridays, I just like hanging at home. I don't really do much. Maybe like Chelsea and I will go out to dinner sometimes. But if I was to go out any day, it would probably be like a Saturday.
Yep.
All right. I want to try to get out, do something, even if it's just one friend or, you know, a small group, and then maybe something on Sundays. But I easily, if Chelsea's traveling for work and it's just me at home and the dogs, like I don't mind that. I'm kind of like, I like some alone time. I like just kind of chilling, things being quiet, but it is good for me. I know, just to get out and do something. And sometimes I will literally, I'm kind of one of those people that like, I'll just go somewhere alone and just kind of make conversation with people there. Yeah. I like doing that. Like you're saying, that Kroger barista, like I'll, you know, if Chelsea's out of town, maybe I'll go see a movie at Studio 35 and I'll get some food or a couple of beers beforehand. And I'm just making conversation with all these people I don't know, or the bartenders there and stuff. I don't know them, but it's nice to like meet new people and have interesting conversations about whatever. So I do enjoy kind of meeting new people that I don't really have, you know, established relationships. That's just as good too. It makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Me too. Yeah. I never understood it. Growing up, especially in my young 20s, I had big friend groups and we'd go out and party and do things. And I'd see older guys maybe about my age now, you know, around like 5 o'clock, maybe just they would have a beer at the bar by themselves. And you'd see multiple people like that, just having a, I'm like, I would never go to a bar and have a beer by myself. Now I love to I don't do it often. It's something I do maybe quarterly, but I love it. I mean, I'll go to just a dive bar and just sit there, have two or three beers, start having conversations with the bartender. It is, you know, I'm not encouraging people to drink this, a CrossFit podcast, but it is really kind of a cool thing. It's really a cool thing if you're ever traveling alone. I really like to do that. Yeah. When I'm traveling alone, if I'm in the airport, I am just landing somewhere, I'm going to go out, find a bar, pony up to it, make conversation, learn about the city. It's a great way to kind of get the lay of the land. And I get it now.
Yeah. It's nice if you go to a place that's like a nicer restaurant, too, that has a bar. It's like, it's kind of like everyone's at this communal table. Mm-hmm. You just kind of hang out and eat. Like I think in Dublin, like right, like on Avery Muirfield, there's that plaza that's got like a giant eagle. There's like a First Watch there. And I remember going in there a few months ago, I was alone and I was dropping Chelsea off somewhere. I was going to pick her up like an hour later. So I was just getting something to eat and all like the tables were full, but they had this like communal table that like first come, first serve. And so there's just kind of some random people are all just kind of sitting there eating breakfast, ordering individually. It was kind of nice just hanging out, having breakfast and just kind of chatting with some people there. But yeah, it's kind of the same idea, but it was like a breakfast thing. It's kind of, it's fun just to kind of do something like that now and again, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of just sitting at a table all alone, you're just kind of, oh, I'm at a community table. It's like a big dining room table with a bunch of random people, but you're just making conversation.
It's good. It's good for you. I think that's just good for you in general. It helps you be more comfortable with meeting new people, you know, not just shelling up and, you know, getting the food and eating it in your car. It's, mm-hmm. it's good to start. It gives you confidence as a person in yourself too, that you're a cool person. You can go hang and talk with people. No, I think that's awesome.
And training wise too, I think like kind of getting back to like CrossFit gyms or like gyms like that. It's just, I, over the years, if I've stopped in at a larger gym, a Lifetime or an LA Fitness, and everyone there is doing work and stuff, but it tends to be, you know, sometimes there's small groups and people are working out, but everyone tends to kind of be in headphones, kind of doing their own thing. And it's not a bad thing, but it just has a different feel. I'm used to being in gyms where you're interacting with people and working out and taking a break and catching up on stuff. And that's kind of what I'm used to and what I like, even if you don't always go into the intention of like, talking a lot or socializing a lot and you just want to work out, you just end up doing that, you know, and you're in a space that's just like, everyone's hanging out and having fun.
I never have worn headphones during a workout. I've tried it running a couple of times. There's memes now about that. You're like a psychopath if you don't have like headphones on in a Globo gym, like, look at this crazy person walking around because they don't have headphones on, and it's like frowned upon in that commercial gym culture to, I'm focused on my work, and really they're not that most of those guys are focused on their cell phones.
Yeah.
And but that's the commercial gym culture. Like, you need to have headphones on and you're there to work, and not really. Like, you're there to be seen and see people, and that's part of it, you know? And I don't particularly like that. And that's what I like about CrossFit gyms and just those types of gym. I've always been attracted to it. And, you know, I'm thinking back, I want to look at, I put some notes down as far as like great training runs I had. I have like a couple different years I had at like when I was boxing at OU, which it was very similar feel and vibe to like a CrossFit group. You know, you had your three or four good friends. You kind of would call each other and text each other, make sure you were going to go. It was super fun. Training with my friends. It's very similar, like this group we have in L2 right now that I see at noon. I heard the 431 is just like this, but like from 2011 to 13, I just had a really good group, particularly like two other guys that were on the team. We just trained together for about three straight years and we're great friends and just really held each other accountable. And then just like 2 years ago, I recruited a couple buddies to Power Hour. I'm like, hey guys, let's just do Power Hour. And much to your point, it wasn't to be more intense. It was to actually back off where I had 4 years of like 5 days a week of CrossFit. And I was just kind of cooked on diving into the ground and doing burpees. So we took 3 months, just did Power Hour, and it was super fun. We were extremely consistent. We got all 4 days in pretty much every week for about 12 straight weeks. And then last year, very similarly, I got a fun crew that I was boxing with. And though all those instances, I felt that flow state. I was just really into it. And while it's not always sustainable forever, to be able to pivot and find a new little niche or group or something that really helps keep you engaged. And just some tips, like off the top of my head, like finding a consistent class time, I think really helps. So if you're like, hey, I'm a noon guy, or I come in at 5:30 PM every night, you're going to start to see the same people each time. And if maybe your schedule is a little varied or, you know, maybe having one other time you go to and you can have kind of two groups, I think having a friend that you train with a lot in those classes really helps. So if you're like, you have like a best friend that you came and started CrossFit with, try and see if they're coming to class. Yeah. You guys will keep each other accountable. I think that really helps as well. coming
would,
to, yeah,
go I would ahead. Say I would encourage people to, I mean, there's more than enough space and equipment to go around, but sometimes I'm like, I just think it's nice to share a bar with someone. Like if there's enough time and you're doing a strength session, like I know there's 90 squat racks, but just if you're about the same weight, you need to make a weight adjustment, just share a bar and work out together. Do your strength together.
I love that. I always try and do that actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, it's just great. A good way to like,
that's a good, simple tip.
But you know, it kind of just, I don't think that kind of, you know, commercial gym culture was always that way. I think, you know, headphones kind of made it possible to kind of listen to your own music, your own podcast that you want to do. And maybe it motivates you. And that's fine too. But like, if you look back the old, like Venice Beach gym or all these old school, like Pumping Iron, like Gold's Gym, all these places, there's just guys in there working out, like, you know, making jokes and making fun of each other and just hanging out and giving each other shit. Like that's kind of what it used to be. And now it's a little bit more kind of isolated.
Even 20 years ago when we were working out in gyms like that, it wasn't headphone. There was not wireless headphones. So you would have literally a CD player. You'd have to have a CD player with a cord to your ears. And then a little later, like mid 2000s, they started to have iPods and things like that. You'd have to have like a strap and then cords into your ears, which people used quite a bit.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like conducive to a good workout. Like I remember trying to run with those a few times and like the cord would come out and like the thing would be whipping around. I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this anymore. So now with the earbuds that are really convenient, they feel good and you can just like throw them in there. It's made it much easier to like have your own music and do all that. But what it has created, because before that you would talk to people a lot more. Hey, can I jump in on this set? Or it wasn't like weird when you would talk to someone. And I actually catch myself on the barbell side. We have a little bit more of that commercial gym culture. People wear the headphones a lot more. I catch myself talking to people who are really close to me, who are wearing them, and they just like, they don't hear me. So I'm like, hey, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, good to see you. And then they're just like doing their workout and looking around. They can't hear me. So I think that's,
I know, have worn them on a couple sides over there. Yeah, if I'm just doing, but I don't like, it just doesn't even feel like I'm not used to lifting weights with headphones on. Like, I don't know. I'm used to, it's like almost like I'm getting like the feedback from the movement is a little bit interfered with like by sound direct in my ear, like 100%. Versus just having it in space. And just like, I feel like I'm more in my body and I'm aware of what I'm doing. Like I would never want to squat really heavy with headphones. Like you, music pumping, throw some Megadeth on it, whatever. Yeah. I like that. But like right in here, like I feel a little bit more distracted.
100%.
You know, so
I feel like that with running. Honestly, if I'm run like focused running, like I'm going to run hard and fast. I don't like music.
Yeah.
Some people love it. And I can see how you can lose yourself into music. And it's, I know at the high end, I don't know if I've ever been to, I don't ever see at a marathon, any of like the lead guys with like,
no, if you're a serious runner,
they're rocking headphones.
Me, I'm like putting a half marathon playlist on and I'm going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's funny because usually I do, you know, I can even listen to like an audiobook or podcast and I know like a long, slow run, right? Yep. You just kind of get into it. That's fine. But you know, if there's ever a time, if I'm running one of our dogs, Millie, and I'm out for a run, I'm not putting headphones on and walking and running with my dog. Like I want to communicate with her and things like that. I want to be there and present with her. So it's just funny when I've gone out times where it's just, you know, me and her running and I don't have any music on, it feels weird for maybe like the first mile. Like I'm a little like too aware of like, this is like, you know, that first mile or two of a run, sometimes like everything just feels kind of clunky and you're not moving that well. And then all of a sudden you become very aware and more present in the world and you're just interacting with your dog. And it's actually quite nice and you get used to it. But if you're used to running with music and then you don't, sometimes I just do it as like an exercise in trying to be more mindful.
Yep.
Because it does, you do get in that space where you're just like, you just start thinking a lot.
Yeah. And no, you absolutely do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're also, it's also a safety factor for me.
Oh, 100% like, safety. Yeah. Like running wise, just being, it's one thing if you're running, but there's people that just walk around the world all the time with just AirPods. And I'm like, who knows what could happen? Like someone could jump you from behind. Yep. Like you get hit by a car. I think you need all senses when you're out in the world. Like maybe just put one in, like if you have like a podcast or something, but like you should be aware of what's going on with you in the world.
If you're running too, having all those senses, especially if you're running, you're crossing streets, you're jumping over things, hearing sticks break under your feet. It helps to hearing is it helps.
It just does. It definitely does for sure. Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, you know, what I just wanted to get across here and, you know, some of this stuff, I think we're all guilty of using modern conveniences and things like that. I certainly am. I'm on my damn cell phone way too much. I need to try and detox from it. I'll obsessively check our like gym Instagram and all that kind of stuff. And, I think just trying to get back to cultivating relationships, using the gym as a place, and it doesn't have to look the way I talked about it. It could be, you know, we have, like Nick Day and Brian Barthwell who, you know, they'll jump in, they'll do power hour for a while. They'll do CrossFit for a while. And then they'll like, they'll maybe trade workouts back and forth and just do their own thing, but they're always there together and they're buddies and they're consistent. I'll say that they're extremely consistent. They come in all the time. It might look like that. But having some social interaction throughout your day, the more of that you have, the healthier you're going to be. Me just talk a lot of the stuff that I bring up in these podcasts is me talking through this because it might be a spot in my life that's lacking that I'm trying to fire myself up to do it because I know it's important. I'll have some like chronic pain issues and things like that that I think are brought on oftentimes from like, you know, low level depression or just like things like that. And it's all my own doing. It's being on my phone too much. It's getting in my own head and being really hard on myself. And the more I'm just around people, talking to people, and I'm out of this thing, the healthier I am. So part of this podcast and doing it, and you know, it's a gym podcast. It's not going to make us any money. It's cathartic. It's me just trying to talk through things.
Yeah. I mean, we're all a work in progress. So it's like, not like we have all this stuff solved and we're just kind of preaching upon high. It's like, no, like we're struggling with this as much as anyone.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for myself included too. Yeah. I'll get in my own head way too much. I'll overthink things and I am guilty of probably spending sometimes too much time alone. Cause sometimes it's just, that's me. But I do know that, you know, as an example, like, you know, for years at our old gym, like I did the 6 a.m. classes and I'm like, probably never been like kind of a big morning person. I'm kind of more of a night owl. That's kind of how things were in college a lot, just doing art late into the night. And just, I tend to like that time of day a little bit more, but having to be up early and on and being inspiring or kind of motivating for a group of people at 6 a.m., like, immediately, like it might be a struggle for the first 5 minutes, but like, and you kind of fake it till you make it. But I just realized if I had to do a class later that morning and then I would go on to my day, I felt like my days went better when I had that really early social interaction with a good 6 a.m. crew, even though it was kind of hard to get up and you're just kind of groggy, you're like, oh, put this coffee sink in real fast, just kick in. But you know, by 6:05, you're laughing and joking around with people, and it just really, and you have a good connection with these people, it just made my day so much better because I was around a bunch of people I really liked and I was laughing and smiling. And other than just kind of, instead of just being home, sleeping in and just kind of waking up and, you know, slowly easing into the day, I was like up at it around people and having a good time.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes the, you know, especially with social interaction, sometimes it can feel like it's the last thing you want or need, but it becomes like a really good kind of, you know, release for a lot of what's going on. And just, you know, I think sometimes it's just hard to take that first step, whether you're just kind of tired or like, maybe you just don't feel like you're, you know, maybe you're going through a hard time or you're stressed out, but like, just know that like other people can very much be the cure for whatever is going on, you know, at least temporarily, and really help you out of a tough spot.
I don't know anyone who's less healthy or less happy because they have a lot of great relationships and friends.
Yeah.
It's never,
there's literally, no, I mean, unless this peer group is a bad influence on you, right? Sure. Like, let's go to the strip club every night or let's do a bunch of drugs. But like general quality, like, you know, social interaction and good people that are trying to motivate you or help you or listen to you. Like that is, I mean, there's no downside to that whatsoever.
Yeah. I think we can leave it right there. We will see you guys next week.
Peace.